What is?
What is biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
I think what you just said made me look at those scenarios differently.
God replaced all my junk with a beautiful light.
God's really been changing the way that I parent my children.
The most amazing thing is the sufficiency of His Word.
This is Transformed. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Master's University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back to Transformed. My name is Dr. Greg Gifford, and I'm your host, and I'm sharing my favorite counseling verses with you today. Counseling verses on anxiety, but think of like, what do I mean by counseling verses? Well, we as biblical counselors, we kind of have our go-to passages, ones that we have exposited, we've learned from personally, ones that have had a very meaningful impact on us. And those verses, then we often find ourselves going to when approached by different presenting problems in counseling. So when I'm meeting with someone for anxiety, I'm not putting them into a category. I just know that there are certain verses on anxiety that seem to be more helpful and more pertinent. That's what I want to share with you. So as you're thinking about this, this episode would be one that you might actually dog ear, or some of you are counselors. This might be a place where you can take people who you're counseling and share these verses with them. But before we jump in, I want you to consider going to fortisinstitute.org/lies and checking out the book, Lies My Therapist Told Me. I mentioned this last episode. I just recorded the audiobook, and let me just say, it's right up there with budget meetings and root canals whenever you sit there and listen to yourself read for 20 hours. So hopefully the product is worth it. I did read it myself, so you'll be able to not only hear my voice, whether you want to or not, like that's the secondary question, but I am the one that read it, and that is going to be available to you. So many of you are, you're not avid readers, but you will listen all day. So just know that audiobook is going to be available. You can find these at fortisinstitute.org/lies. Okay, now to today's topic, anxiety, it is one of the presenting problems. Like you have to have an arsenal. So what are those verses that I find myself going to the most for anxiety and why? That's what I want to give you in this episode. So think of your arsenal for a second. In your medicine cabinet at home, and all of you have one, even if you're young, you're like, I don't need no medicine. I drink water. It's triple filtered. Okay, it's like, all right, we love you. Must be nice to be that healthy. But the rest of us have a medicine cabinet, Tylenol, vitamins, you have a prescription that you take, like you have your medicine cabinet. That medicine cabinet, it has a specific purpose, so a specific medication for a specific bodily ailment. That bodily ailment is going to have, all right, my shoulder hurts, my back hurts, my knee hurts, like, what am I taking for that? Or maybe another analogy, in my garage, I have this old Craftsman toolbox we got at secondhand on Facebook Marketplace. It's so cool. I love that thing. It's like red and black, Georgia Bulldog colors. Come on, like what else makes me feel like a man besides going to my Craftsman toolbox? Praying and reading the Bible, obviously. But outside of those, Craftsman, all right? So in my toolbox, I have different tools for different jobs. In fact, it's like this sacred thing. So if anyone in my family is like, hey, Dad, where's your screwdriver? I'm like, third drawer from the top on the right. You know, I can like visualize it. Hey, I need a socket. Like, do you have a socket wrench? I'm like, fourth drawer, left, middle, half inch. If you mess with my toolbox, I'm not super thrilled about it. So I'm usually like, hey, I'll put the tools back. That way I know where they are. Each of those tools has a purpose. And for a specific circumstance, I can go grab that tool and then use it. That's how I want you to think about your walk with Christ, that there are passages that are pertinent to certain problems. And oftentimes you need to reach for that tool, i.e. that passage, to renew your mind and renew it in an acute way, like a specific way. So if I'm struggling with grumbling, I might be like, you know what? Philippians 2:14, to do all things without grumbling or complaining. Yes, I need that one ready to go. I'm struggling to focus on my circumstances and I'm discouraged. Colossians 3:2, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Okay, I should not be focusing on my circumstances. I'm angry. Ephesians 4:26, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down in your anger. Like I need those ready to go. And that's true for anxiety. So grab a Bible. Let me take you to my top counseling verses on anxiety. And these are in order, by the way. So it might surprise you that I want you to go to Psalm 131 to start. Psalm 131, I love this passage. I self-counsel myself with this passage all the time. This is one of the passages that I am drawn to the most. And you might be like, well, I'm surprised you didn't go to Matthew 6 first or Philippians 4 first. So, no, I will go to those, but those aren't my first stop. This is my first stop because I think it contains two elements that anxiety needs to hear. This is Psalm 131, the Song of Ascents of David, verse 1. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. But I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Consider some of the things that David is saying. Yahweh, first of all, is how the Lord is addressed, all caps Lord. Yahweh, God is who he is. He's always existed. He will always exist. God is big. He's called Yahweh twice here. That is his name. That's how he reveals himself to Moses. The bigness of God is what David is addressing him as. My heart is not lifted up. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous. The New American Standard, the Legacy Standard, they will connote that this is pride or ambition. I will not be ambitious. I will not be haughty. Rather, I calm and quiet my soul in your lap. In your lap, O Yahweh. Why does this passage help with anxiety? Because God is big, Yahweh is big, and we are quieting ourselves in Yahweh. But there's one more tool that comes out of this. Yes, I don't occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous, but I'm learning to focus on my responsibilities. You know, if you just in the middle of anxiety and worry, if you just say, don't worry, that's about as unhelpful as any other Christian truism. You know, you're like, oh, thank you. Don't worry. God's got you. It's like, thanks a lot, ma'am. Just a fountain of knowledge. But if you focus on the bigness of Yahweh, and then you now are confiding yourself to him, then instead of me being Yahweh, me being God in this circumstance, I start to say, you know what? God is God. He is big. I am not big. What am I called to do? I'm called to not be him, but to trust in him. Like a weaned baby in the lap of their mom. Some of you know that imagery exactly. You remember when your children or child were weaned for the first time. And instead of sitting in mom's lap and needing something from her, they just want to sit with her. They just want to lay next to her. They just want to be content with her. That is what our soul is to be like with Yahweh. So the reason I like it is the bigness of God, and you and I actually have a focus. What is our focus? We're not focused on things too great and too marvelous. Our focus is on our responsibilities. If you're not careful, you try to take on God's responsibilities for your life instead of focusing on your own. Psalm 131, what has God called you to do? Be faithful to that and then entrust the rest to him. Psalm 131. I love it. I love it. Write it down, spend some time, do your own exposition of the text, and I would dog ear this thing for anxiety. I remind myself 2 jillion times, Greg, what is your responsibility and how should you be trusting the Lord? Okay, I have to include this one. This is Matthew chapter 6. Of course, this one, Jesus is going to use the term anxiety and he is going to make it a statement about your faith. So this isn't a disease or disorder as some of the secular therapeutic might tell us. This is something that Jesus says you must not do. Do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Don't be anxious about your physical life. You're not worried about it. You know that the Lord is going to provide. Verse 26, look to the birds. Verse 28, why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies. If God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. I love this because Jesus is clearly addressing that the cares of this world should not consume you. You're not overly concerned with everyday provisions. Rather, you're focused on God's character. Jesus addresses the worries and anxieties of this life. He addresses those with a big view of God. Remember, I've said this dozens of times, and I will continue to say it, that when you look at the birds, your heavenly Father feeds them. When you consider the lilies, they grow, they don't toil, and yet your heavenly Father is the one that provides for them. God knows and God provides. How do you crush your anxiety? By recognizing that God knows, that God provides. So let's do this. Let's take a short break. When we come back, I'll finish this thought from Matthew 6, and then we'll keep going. We'll be right back.
All right, we'll be back with more from Dr. Gifford in just a moment. Hey, look, I don't know about you, but hearing Dr. Gifford walk through Psalms 131, yeah, it's kind of hit me straight between the eyes. You know why? Because anxiety is loud. It screams, hey, be God, take control, fix it now. But David in Psalms 131 says, actually, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to quiet myself like a child. That's not weakness. That's actually worship, no matter what you've been told. And let's be honest, it's hard to do, especially when everything that could possibly go wrong is going wrong. And this is where biblical counseling is so vital. And if that's something that you're hungry for, not just symptom relief, but real spirit-powered transformation, then you've got to pre-order Dr. Gifford's new book that will be out very soon. It's Lies My Therapist Told Me. This book is going to change the mental health industry because it gets underneath the cultural noise and it deals with the real issue, which is your heart. You can pre-order your copy right now at fortisinstitute.org/lies. And hey, while we're talking resources, Fortis Plus, it's like a digital toolbox. That's a good analogy. 7 new pieces of audio and video content are added every day. You're going to find a lot of content available at fortisplus.org, or you can download it to your mobile device right now, and it's all free. Won't cost you anything. Now, let me ask you this. If we've helped you, this ministry, over the years with how to think biblically or love scripture more deeply or to counsel more faithfully, would you consider partnering with us? Fortis Institute, we're celebrating 25 years of equipping believers with biblical content this year. 25 years we've been at this, and we want you to join us because we want to keep doing it for another 25 years. But we do want you to remember that you need to be giving to your local church first and not be strapped by any kind of unmanaged debt or anything like that. So if those areas of your life are cleared up and you could join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, we'd love it if you would pray about it and find out more details at fortisinstitute.org. Now, if those areas of your life are not in order, get them in order first. And before we jump back in, let's not forget about the sound biblical education that is available at the Masters University. We're proud partners of the Masters University, and if you're serious about theology or counseling or any other academic pursuit that you want rooted in a biblical worldview, TMU is worth your consideration and attention. They're committed to academic excellence and spiritual formation. You can find out more right now at masters.edu/transformed. And now let's get back to Dr. Greg Gifford. This is Transformed. Welcome back to Transformed.
The Bible informs us that difficult events or circumstances are not the cause of our bad decision-making. Trauma merely reveals what is already in the heart.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back to Transformed. We've been talking about my favorite counseling verses on anxiety. And if you haven't gone to the Fortis store, guys, check it out. If you haven't downloaded Fortis Plus yet, check it out. And you got to go listen to Libby Glosson. It's awesome to have her insightful voice that can speak to ladies in a way that the rest of us fellows cannot. So it's good to have her on board. I hope you'll take a chance to go listen to her podcast. Now, I've been sharing my favorite verses on anxiety in the counseling context. And of course, this applies first to us. Think of self-counsel. We were transformed by the passages that we're ministering to others. I said Psalm 131, that's my favorite. I love going to that one. It's about God and his bigness and then us learning our responsibilities. We're not focused on things too great and too marvelous. Currently, we're in Matthew 6. And the reason I love Matthew 6 is a big view of God is put forward. Why do we care about the lilies and why do we care about the birds? Well, I don't want a pet bird and I don't want more grass. That's not the point. The point is that if God will take care of birds, if he will feed the grass, the lilies of the field, then what am I worried about? That's reality. What am I worried about if God is that big? So God clothes the grass, and will he not much more clothe you? God knows your needs. So seek first the kingdom of God. That's the end of verse 32 and into verse 33. Your anxiety has to be crushed with a right understanding of God. Your view of God is too small if you're anxious and worried. Seriously, it's too small. Kevin Carson would always say, anxiety is a mild form of atheism, because it is. You're not truly understanding the nature and character of God. If I believe God is big and good and he knows, then I'm not anxious anymore. So why do I really love that? Because you behold God as big and then you're not anxious. You don't have to command a person to not be anxious when they see God as big. Have you ever thought about that angle? Why are you anxious? Stop being anxious. That's why I don't actually jump to this next passage first. The next passage I'd like you to go to is Philippians 4. You may say, like, well, Philippians 4 talks about anxiety really thoroughly. And I would agree. I think it does. But why do I not make that my number one? Because I think Psalm 131 and I think Matthew 6 put forward a big view of God. And when I have a big view of God, you don't have to come to me and say, hey, Dr. Gifford, don't be anxious. Of course I'm not anxious. God is big. God is good. God knows. So why do I not struggle with worry and anxiety? I think I said anxiety. Anxiety. Why do I not struggle with anxiety? Because God is big. Like, why would I worry? Because God's in total control. And then I would go to Philippians 4. Don't start with Philippians 4, but do get there eventually. Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness, your sound mind be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's important to note. When we are thinking about anxiety, I do think that it's important for us to have Philippians 4, but that's not the starting point that Greg Gifford goes to. But I want to get there. What does it say? We're rejoicing in the Lord. We are expectant of his return. Your gentleness, your sound, sober mind, not your sober mindedness, your sober mind. I don't know. I can't say that word. Niner. Is there a niner in there? Your sober mindedness. It's on display. The Lord is at hand. There are great changes to your life when you believe Jesus is coming back imminently. He could be back at any time. I'm expectant that he'll be back. There is a personal transformation to hoping in Jesus. Just read 1 John 3, verses 1 through 3. Like, when you look forward to Jesus coming back, you live your life differently. You should be excited by that reality as well. You're praying and offering supplication. Recognize that at the end of verse 6, and everything by prayer and supplication, when you're in prayer, you're going to that big God. You're depending on him. When I'm not in prayer, I'm anxious. Seriously, I'm anxious because I have to do it. I have to fix it. I'm in control. I've just WebMD'd my symptoms and I'm going to die. That's how we feel about it, because I am not including God as part of this. But whenever I see God as big, Matthew 6, I pray to him. So I'm not anxious. I do recognize that anxiety is a sin because I am now trying to do what God alone should do and I'm not trusting him. So if I go to a person who's anxious and I just say, hey, check it out. Verse 6, do not be anxious about anything. I think you're jumping in the middle of a sentence, number one. There's rejoicing, there's expectancy, there's a gentleness. The results of you praying, the results of you being expectant of the Lord's return is that you won't be anxious. But also notice verse 7. Verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. How do you have peace? How do you have peace? You have peace by prayer, living in an expectant way that Jesus will return. resisting the temptation to be worried and anxious. That's how you have peace. Peace is a byproduct. If you're just trying to have peace by worshiping peace and pursuing peace, you'll never have it. Peace is a resultant of living a life that's honoring to the Lord. So if that result of peace is true in my life, it's because these other ingredients are already there. So what does your anxious self want? Peace. But you don't have peace by just saying have peace. You have peace by doing verses 4-6. That's the point. So why do I enjoy Philippians 4 as one of those counseling verses? I enjoy it because you have a part to play in battling anxiety. You do. You don't have a disease. You may have a natural tendency, but you don't have a disorder. You're not stuck with this. And that part to play means prayer, remembering Jesus is coming. You're living this gentle, sober-minded lifestyle. That is the part that you have to play. So if I find myself stuck in the throes, the waves of anxiety are crashing on me, I have to then step back and say, am I being faithful to address this anxiety the way the Lord has called me to? Philippians 4 gives me that model. So number one, Psalm 131. Number two, Matthew 6:25. Number three, Philippians 4:4-7. Let me give you a couple of more, and then I'm hoping that you're just like stocking up your toolbox with these right now. Consider this one, Daniel chapter 4. Let me read to you from Daniel chapter 4, verse 35. I will ask counselees, if you're struggling with anxiety, I would encourage you to review Daniel chapter 4. This is the part in scripture where Nebuchadnezzar, it could be a conversion moment for him because he begins to profess that there is no one higher than God. He is the Most High, the Almighty. Nebuchadnezzar has exalted himself as the Most High, and then the Lord humbled him. You remember that? That's verses 28 and following. Verse 34, at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my reason returned to me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. Verse 35, here it is. And all the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, and he does according to his will among the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say to him, what have you done? The bigness of God is proclaimed by Nebuchadnezzar in this moment, the bigness of God. His dominion is an everlasting dominion. He's the King of Kings. No one stops him. He does according to his will on earth and in heaven, just like we pray in the Lord's Prayer. And no one can say to him, why'd you do that? What have you done? God is the absolute supreme ruler. No one stops him. Disease doesn't stop him. Natural disaster doesn't stop him. Presidents and kings don't stop him. Emperors don't stop him. My family doesn't stop him. My neighbors don't stop him. My money doesn't stop him. Nobody stops God from doing what he wants to do. That is the bigness of God. He rules over everything according to his will. He can do anything inside of his holy will. Anything God wants to do, he can do. Whoa, that is huge. Think of that for a minute. That is huge. That is what Nebuchadnezzar is saying. You don't know anybody that can stop God. You don't. What about my boss who asked me to work late? Nope. What about this hospital bill that is gargantuan? Nope. What about this unknown medical issue that I'm wrestling with right now? Still no. There is no one that you know. There is nothing that you know that can stop God. That is how big he is. Consider how that crushes your anxiety. Why do I love this verse? God is big. No one stops him, guys. No one stops him. No disease, no natural disaster. Nothing stops him. God is completely in control, completely sovereign. And when I couple that with his goodness, I trust him. I do. He's got it. I don't know how I'm going to pay that hospital bill, but God has got it for sure. So I trust him and I'm not anxious or worried. You need to arm yourself with verses about the bigness of God. Daniel 4:35. Oh man, commit it to memory. Meditate on it. Chew on it. Put it in the side of your cheek and just let it hang out there while you chew on it all day. That is what I would encourage you to do with Daniel 4:35. So if you're taking notes, write Psalm 115 verses 1-3. Again, it's another passage about the bigness of God. But what should you do? Equip your toolbox for the days when you're struggling with anxiety. You know which shelf, third shelf from the top, Daniel 4:35. Or Psalm 131. I need to be in Psalm 131 today. Watch the way that having that tool equips you to use God's word and to see change come about. So this is just the reality. Like, you know God's word well enough to know passages that are pertinent to the problems that you're facing. Let me pray for us. Lord, we are prone to wonder, and some of us are prone toward anxiety, and we know that, and I'm one of them. Help us to see you as big. You're in control. You got us. You're good. You know. You're wise. Allow us to not worry because we see how big you are, and thus we trust you. Lord, give us grace to fight against our worries and fight against our anxieties with the truth of your word, we pray. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been Transformed from Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.